Oftentimes in life, we hear people say that when blessings come in their lives, they must be doing something right. Or possibly when things are going right in their lives, they attribute it to good living. And in a sense, that is true. But when life is a mess and it seems like God isn't answering our prayers, how many people will actually take the blame themselves for it? Because one thing is always necessary when things aren't going the way we think they should go, and when life seems like it's a big mess, we have to take a moment to examine ourselves. Often we're going to find that we have no one to blame but ourselves. And if things are going to change, it has to be us that changes. We continue talking about change as the Bible speaks about change. Last week we talked about change in the sense of change is inevitable in life. It's going to happen. Every single day of life, something seems to change, and how that throws us off and turns us into all kinds of ways of trying to deal with the change rather than turning to the Lord and asking for strength to deal with that change. And part of the change that happens in our lives, though, folks, ultimately is our own fault. It's like a person who's traveling down a path. Any of you that have ever been out hunting knows you walk along the fence rows or traveling down a path. Things are going well, it's easy walking, but the minute you get into the fence row itself or walk into the fence row, what do you got? You're all tangled up in briars because you've left the path. You've left the way. You've left the direction you were going and chosen another way, which simply cause problems for you. In today's subject, I want to talk about how sometimes sin brings about negative changes in our lives because it separates us from God. Now, before I start, I do want all of you to understand, I'm not saying here this morning that when we have problems in our lives, it's our own fault every time. I'm not saying that. There's a lot of things, a lot of variables that enter into this whole equation as we go along in life. We're going to talk about them in the next couple of weeks. But what I'm specifically talking about this morning is when we are in those times of trials and tribulations, we have to sit down and examine ourselves and say, where am I in my relationship to God right now in life? It was a true story. It happened several years ago about a preacher that went to one of the universities in Pennsylvania, was speaking about God and God's grace and His forgiveness, and afterwards a young lady came up to him and said to him, you know, I used to believe all that stuff, but now I don't. I've come to a point in my life where I no longer believe any of that stuff. And as the man, as the pastor questioned the young girl, he asked her the question, when did you change in your feelings about God and the Bible? What happened in your life? And in conversation, he found out that at the particular time that things started to change in this young girl's life was the time when she moved in with her boyfriend and started living with him and sleeping with him. You see, sometimes in life we have to say to ourselves, is it me? Is it me? I'm talking this morning again about the effects of sin in our lives that change our lives and bring about negative consequences. The effects of sin are frustration, anxiety, anger, confusion, poverty, poor health, believe it or not, pessimism, fear, loneliness, and even death are some of the effects that sin brings into our lives. Sin is defined in Webster's dictionary by the willful breaking of a religious or a moral law. In the Bible, it's defined as rebellion against God or missing the mark that God has set for us by breaking God's laws. Most heartbreaking of all are the people that are caught up in vicious cycles of destructive practices in their lives, and they're expecting good results out of it. Drugs, alcohol, sexual practices, also laziness, gambling, lying, gossip, slander, pride, stealing, just to name a few. And they're expecting prosperity. and expecting good results. So they're praying to God, "Oh God, bless me. I want this, I want that." And unfortunately, when that doesn't happen, they become angry at God and start to blame God. So we look through the Bible and see the effects of these things that come into people's lives as a result of sin. We find that from the very opening pages of the Bible, the foundation for this doctrine and teaching, in the book of Genesis, God had created the heavens and the earth and Adam and Eve, and they were in the beautiful garden. Everything was provided for them in this garden. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. Then he created the woman. He said to them, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil." He gave them to eat from all the fruit-bearing trees and all the trees that bear fruit with seed in it. So they were to eat fruit and nuts and so forth at this point. But oh, one day, the serpent, who was described as more crafty than any of the wild animals, came to Eve and deceived her. And she took the fruit and she ate it, and she gave some to her husband. And it tells us the eyes of both of them were open and they realized they were naked. Before this, they did not know good and evil. Everything on the earth was good and pleasing. God had given it to them. They were to enjoy everything until this happened. They realized they were naked. They were ashamed. So they tried to cover themselves up by sewing fig leaves together to make coverings for themselves. Now, as we see the story unfold and God's displeasure with these people, we see the effects of their sin on not only them, but all humanity. First of all, we see the effects on the man, on Adam. The man and his wife heard the sound of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And the man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." The changes that were brought about in Adam's life, first of all, were fear of God. A broken relationship with God because of his sin. And that's what sin does to us. It breaks that fellowship that we have with the Lord. Secondly, he started blaming others, accusing others, putting blame on others. First, he said to God, the woman you put here, she gave me some fruit. He was making false claims against others. You, God, put her here, and she gave me the fruit. Had you not put her here, had she not given me the fruit, I wouldn't have eaten. You see the rationale, finding excuses for his sin. So God goes to the woman. "What's this you have done?" As a result of her sin, she was affected. And then she said to God, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." You see, again, Eve blamed others for her sin. And sadly enough, she played dumb. "The serpent deceived me. I didn't know any better, God. I didn't know any better. God told them not to do it. That should have been enough. But a result of their sin changed them and changed their lives and our lives forever. They now had broken relationships with God. They were blaming and accusing others, not willing to take the blame on themselves, and playing dumb, just trying to get out of being blamed for their actions. The change that their actions brought was more extensive and far-reaching than they or we could ever have imagined. Their sin brought change in their lives, which resulted in negative consequences for them and all humanity. First, the God cursed the serpent. "Cursed are you above all the livestock and the wild animals. You're going to crawl on your belly. You'll eat dust all the days of your life. I'll put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel. This is the first mention of a person who would come to destroy the serpent. Now, later on we find out as Jesus. Secondly, he cursed the woman. To the woman he said, I will greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you'll give birth to children, and your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. As a result of her sin, she would now suffer physical pain, emotional pain, and she would be under the dominion of her husband. But you see, that word rule means have dominion or govern as a result of her sin. Thirdly, God cursed the man and he cursed the earth. To Adam he said, because you listened to your wife, think about this, because you listened to your wife instead of listening to God, and you ate from the tree which I commanded you not to, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of it. Through painful toil you'll eat of it. So the result of his sin was hardship. And now they would eat of the ground, not of the trees and the fruit anymore. That through painful toil and hardship, they would eat now. The ground will produce thorns and thistles, and you'll eat the plants of the field rather than the fruit of the tree. By the sweat of your brow you'll eat the food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, to dust you'll return. So he was cursed with hardship and labor all the days of his life, and worse off, even death. We often think that our sin doesn't affect anyone else, but in fact, our sin, no matter how big or how small, always affects others in some way or another, now or later on in life. That's biblical and that's factual. You can never hide a sin in your life, nor can you put it behind you and never have it come to affect you again. Everything that we do, everything that we say is recorded in the books and the annals of heaven and cannot be deleted. It's in the records and the minds of history. Like we tell kids, every time you text, everything you do, everything you say is recorded. You cannot erase it from history. It happened on earth, and it is recorded somewhere. So our sin comes back to haunt us in many ways that we don't even fathom until it's confronted. We're confronted with it. It comes right to us. Meets us face to face, hours later, days later, years later, our sin curses us. When we go around thinking that our sin only affects us, we're deceiving ourselves by denying the staining power that sin has in our lives. Sometimes in life we have to stop when things are not going well and ask ourselves, am I doing something that goes against God's will for my life? And often, no matter how hard we work to change things, to straighten our lives out, things will not change until we change by turning back to the Lord. Do you know that Adam and Eve never had another recorded conversation with God after this? Do you know that the Bible does not tell us that God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden, period? But that he knew them and that he spoke to them, that they heard him, that he was a presence with him, but now they had turned away from him. And their sin not only affected them, it affects you and I today. And only when we turn back to the Lord will things change, especially if we're praying and God doesn't seem to be answering us. We have to ask ourselves, is what I'm praying for really what God wants, or is there something in my life that I'm doing that displeases God? Remember the Ninevites? How many of you remember the story about the Ninevites? God sent Jonah to go to the Ninevites, and Jonah went to them. On the first day Jonah went into the city, he proclaimed 40 more days, and Nineveh is going to be destroyed or overturned. The Ninevites believed God and they declared a fast. When the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne. He took off his royal robes, covered himself in sackcloth, and sat down in dust. And he issued a proclamation. There was going to be a fast in the land. And they did. They followed through because they had turned to the Lord. And it says, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion on them and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Or how many of you remember the story about Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel? Nebuchadnezzar was up on the roof of the royal palace, saying to himself, look at this great place that I've built, this royal residence that I've built by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty. God turned him into some kind of animal of which he had to eat grass for a time like cattle. His body was drenched with the dew, he grew hair like the feathers of an eagle, and his nails like the claws of a bird. But at the end of that time, what did he do? I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven. My sanity was restored, and I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified him who lives forever. Because he knew things weren't going to change until he turned back to the Lord. The key in all of this morning is not to ask God to change things for us, but to change us for things. To help us see the error of our ways, to give us strength to change, to be what God wants us to be and to do what God wants us to do. In other words, obey God instead of the ways of society. You see, when Eve made that decision, when Adam made that decision, they chose to turn from God and to the ways that they were being taught by the devil. Now you might be thinking, well, this is a little harsh. This is a little harsh, Mike. Nobody's perfect. Nobody's perfect. But you see, what happened is Adam and Eve broke fellowship with God. They broke fellowship with God. It's like the person going down the path. When you leave that path and go your own way, you're going to get tangled up in briars. And that's what they did. They left the way. God said, don't do it. They did do it, and they suffered the consequences. That's easy. That's easy for a child to understand. We say, well, God's a loving God. Yes, he is, but God's also a just God, and God has laws and commandments that he tells us, if you follow these, you will be blessed. If you don't follow these, you will be cursed. It's kind of like a ball player. The baseball player takes his eye off the ball, he's going to strike out. A tennis player takes their eyes off the ball, they're going to swing and miss the ball. I watched a lot of the football players lately in the playoffs. The man's wide open, the quarterback passes him the ball, they reach out to catch it, and the ball gets inches from their fingers, and they turn their head to see where they're going to go, and they drop the ball. Because they take their eyes and their focus off the ball. There are times in our lives when we have no one to blame but ourselves for the way things are in our lives. It's a fact. We have to admit it. It's easy to ask God why. The hardest part is admitting that sometimes it's our own fault. But here's the hope. And this is the part of the Bible that we really have to love and grasp. That inasmuch as the Bible tells us we're all sinners, inasmuch as the Bible shows us what happens to people who do not follow God's ways, who disobey God and turn to other ways, the Bible ends up with good news. That when we do admit that it's our own fault, we know that God is a God of transformation. Paul often reminds his readers, this is what some of you were, speaking of the pagans. This is what some of you were. In Ephesians, he says, as for you, you were dead. All of us also lived among them, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. Like the rest, we were objects of wrath. But, and this is the part, folks, we have to cling to, though we don't like to admit our own faults, that we cause a lot of our own problems by turning from God's ways, by living lifestyles unpleasing to God and obedient to God. We have to grasp the true hope. As Paul says, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. You see, this is His amazing grace, that He can change us and will forgive us. Sometimes it takes a while, but we can be sure that if we are humble, sincere, and committed to God, God will transform our lives, and we will see how He does that as He changes us. And then we'll also start to see that as we change, our situations will change. As God allows the change in our lives for our good, He also can change us if we turn back to Him and ask Him to. Next time we're going to learn how and why God uses change for His glory and also for our good. So let's turn to the Lord now in prayer. Our God, we just are thankful for Your Word, because Your Word is